Enjoying Cambridge, Practical College English Course.
想在剑桥，大学实用英语综合教程，第三册。
Unit 1. Focus 1. Language Skills. Section 1. Model Passage Reading. A Detective Story.At 11:22 p.m. on January the 7th, 1999, Miss Jane Webb called the Toronto police to report a suicide. At 11:34, a police car pulled up in front of her house, a small bungalow on a very quiet street, and two policemen got out of the car. Miss Webb was waiting for them at the door, dressed in a warm coat to protect her against the cold.She pointed to the house next door on her right and accompanied the policeman to the front door of this house. To the policeman's surprise, the door was partly open. They entered the house, and Miss Webb directed the policeman to the study, which was down the corridor on the right. The door of the study was also open, and they could see a man's body on the floor near the desk.They realized immediately that he was dead. There was a small, round hole in his forehead, just above his right eye, and a gun lay on the floor next to his right hand. The policeman looked around, but did not touch anything. They then left the room and told Miss Webb to follow them outside. One of the policemen told her that she was a vital witness,and asked her to stay in the house until someone came to interview her. He then called the homicide division and gave them the address. Inspector Caudaire and a team of experts arrived 15 minutes later to investigate the matter. The investigation began at once, and Inspector Caudaire checked every room in the house before he was satisfied. It was almost 2 a.m. when he finally rang the doorbell at Miss Webb's home and asked to speak to her. She offered him a cup of coffee, which he gratefully accepted. He sat down at the kitchen table, and while the coffee was brewing, she told him what had happened. "I was sitting in this very room, drinking a cup of cocoa, like I do every night before I go to bed. Suddenly the light came on in Mr. James's study,And through the window I saw him enter the room and walk over to his desk. Look, you can see the study from here, and you can see everything that is happening inside." Inspector Caudaire stared out of the kitchen window and realized that she was absolutely right. The study was well lit, and he could see his colleagues move around inside as they continued their investigation. Miss Webb continued with her story.I saw Mr. James open a drawer of the desk and take out a gun. I was so shocked I didn't react at first. As I looked, I saw him point the gun at his head and pull the trigger. She was obviously upset, but she continued her account of the terrible event. As you can imagine, I was in shock, but I realized that I had to do something, although I knew deep down that it was too late.
So what did you do? The inspector posed the question.
I ran over to his house for an inspection. I checked the front door. It was locked. I tried the back door. It too was locked. I went around the house and checked all the windows. They were all secured with locks. So I took a stone and broke a basement window and climbed in. It was stupid under the circumstances,but I didn't want to break any of the big windows. The inspector was very sympathetic and told her that it was very natural not to want to damage somebody's property. Then he said, "We noticed the broken window. It was very small. You're lucky you didn't cut yourself as you climbed through it." Miss Webb nodded in agreement and continued her story. "I was in this very dark basement,But since our houses are very similar, I quickly found the light switch. Then I went up the stairs to the main floor. I rushed immediately to the study, and I didn't hesitate. I opened the door, switched on the light,
and ran to the body to see if I could do anything for Mr. James. Of course, as you saw, there was nothing I could do for him. Then I left the house via the front door and came over here to call the police. I left the front door partly open so they could just walk in and see what had happened. Now that she had finished her story, she began to tremble. "I'm sorry," she explained. "You see, he was more than a good neighbor to me. He was also my boss. I work at his company as his accountant, and I know there was a reason for his despair. The company was going bankrupt. I guess that was the motive for his suicide. And I feel responsible for his suicide because I was the one who gave him the bad news, just this morning, in fact." The inspector looked at her, but there was little sympathy in his eyes. He got up from his chair and headed towards the front door. As he was picking up his overcoat and gloves, he turned to her and said, in a very cold voice, "That's all for our preliminary investigation. I think you will have to come down to police headquarters with me. There are a few small details that don't seem to make sense." Why isn't Inspector Coderre satisfied with Miss Webb's version of the event? Is there anything in her account that didn't conform to what the inspector had observed?
New words.
Detective.
Suicide.
Bungalow.
A company.
Partly.
Corridor.
Whole.
Touch.
Vital.
Witness.
Interview.
Homicide.
Division.
Inspector.
Investigate.
Investigation.
Gratefully.
Brew.
Cocoa.
Absolutely.
Draw.
Shock.
Trigger.
Upset.
Account.
Pose.
Inspection.
Secure.
Circumstance.
Property.
Nod.
Agreement.
Similar.
Switch.
Via.
Tremble.
Accountant.
Reason.
Despair.
Bankrupt.
Motive.
Responsible.
Glove.
Preliminary.
Headquarters.
Detail.
Version.
Conform.
Proper nouns.
Jane Webb.
Toronto.
Inspector Coderre.
James.
Section 2. Listening and speaking. Listening. 1. Listen to a conversation on the text only once, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
Hello, madam.
Hello, Inspector. My name is Jane Webb. Would you like a cup of coffee?
Thanks a lot. Please tell me the terrible event.
As I was sitting in my kitchen to drink a cup of cocoa, I saw the light of Mr. James' study come on suddenly.
Do you mean you can see everything that happens in his study through your kitchen window?
That's absolutely right. I saw Mr. James take out a gun from the drawer, point it at his head, and pull the trigger.
What did you do then?
Though I was in shock, I ran over to his house for an inspection. But all the doors and windows were locked.
How did you enter the house?
I broke the basement window with a stone and climbed in.
You're lucky you didn't cut yourself as you climbed through such a small broken window.
You bet I am. After I found Mr. James was dead and I couldn't do anything for him, I left the house and called the police.
2. Listen to a conversation twice and then choose the best answer to each question.
What do you think about the bulleting?
I feel very sorry for Bob. He'll be asked to leave the university very soon because he was caught cheating in the exam again.
I don't think he ought to have cheated in the exam the second time.
Yeah, he is a junior and he should know the school regulations very well.
I wonder how he will explain his dropping out to his parents.
If I were in his position, my parents would be very, very sad.
In fact, what happened to him should be a good lesson for all students.
To tell the truth, when he entered the university, he still studied quite hard.
That's true. But since he was addicted to net games, he has changed a lot.
So I don't think it'll do young people any good to be addicted to net games.
You're right. Although campus life is free, it's not easy to graduate, and everybody really has to study hard.
He shouldn't have thought that he would be able to escape being caught by luck.
Sure, it's natural that he deserves the punishment.
So, honesty is the best policy.
Questions. 1. Why will Bob be asked to leave the university?
2. Which of the following is not true according to the conversation?
3. What does the phrase dropping out in the conversation mean?
4. Why did Bob cheat again?
5. What can we learn from the conversation? What do you think about the bulleting?
I feel very sorry for Bob. He'll be asked to leave the university very soon because he was caught cheating in the exam again.
I don't think he ought to have cheated in the exam the second time.
Yeah, he is a junior and he should know the school regulations very well.
I wonder how he will explain his dropping out to his parents.
If I were in his position, my parents would be very, very sad.
In fact, what happened to him should be a good lesson for all students.
To tell the truth, when he entered the university, he still studied quite hard.
That's true. But since he was addicted to net games, he has changed a lot.
So I don't think it'll do young people any good to be addicted to net games.
You're right. Although campus life is free, it's not easy to graduate, and everybody really has to study hard.
He shouldn't have thought that he would be able to escape being caught by luck.
Sure, it's natural that he deserves the punishment.
So, honesty is the best policy.
Questions. 1. Why will Bob be asked to leave the university?
2. Which of the following is not true according to the conversation?
3. What does the phrase dropping out in the conversation mean?
4. Why did Bob cheat again?
5. What can we learn from the conversation?
Listen to a passage twice and then choose the best answer to each question.
Many people have been fooled by many different get-rich schemes. Some even have lost their life savings in the process. Here is a real story I heard on TV. One group cheated hundreds of people because it promised them an interest rate as high as 30% to collect funds for half a year. A lot of people were attracted by such a high rate of interest. Obviously, the scam led people to believe that they could get rich rapidly. Half a year later, when people would get their capital and interest, they found the office empty and no one was there. They were shocked and reported to the local police at once. The police drew the face pictures of two main suspects according to victims' description, and sent them to other police bureaus by fax. Thanks to the internet and the help of Shanghai police, the local police finally caught the two main suspects in Shanghai 3 months later. It turned out that the group had lost 70% of the legally collected funds in stock market. Such an experience tells people that some cheaters will do anything to cheat others out of money. So it's always a good idea to investigate thoroughly before giving any of one's hard-earned money to anybody.
Questions. 1. What have many people been fooled by?
2. What interest rate did the group promise people?
Three. Why did the scam attract hundreds of people?
Four. How did the local police catch the two main suspects?
Five. What lesson can we learn from the story?
Many people have been fooled by many different get-rich schemes. Some even have lost their life savings in the process. Here is a real story I heard on TV. One group cheated hundreds of people because it promised them an interest rate as high as 30% to collect funds for half a year. A lot of people were attracted by such a high rate of interest. Obviously, the scam led people to believe that they could get rich rapidly. Half a year later, when people would get their capital and interest, they found the office empty and no one was there. They were shocked and reported to the local police at once. The police drew the face pictures of two main suspects, according to victims' description, and sent them to other police bureaus by fax. Thanks to the internet and the help of Shanghai police, the local police finally caught the two main suspects in Shanghai 3 months later. It turned out that the group had lost 70% of the legally collected funds in stock market. Such an experience tells people that some cheaters will do anything to cheat others out of money. So it's always a good idea to investigate thoroughly before giving any of one's hard-earned money to anybody.
Questions. 1. What have many people been fooled by?
2. What interest rate did the group promise people?
3. Why did the scam attract hundreds of people?
4. How did the local police catch the two main suspects?
5. What lesson can we learn from the story?
Speaking. Reference answer. Haven't seen you for a long time, John. Are you okay?
Not bad, but my laptop and DVD set were stolen by a thief 2 weeks ago.
Really? Did you report it to the police?
In fact, the police have returned the computer and the DVD set to me not long after.
You're really lucky. How did it happen?
On my way home that day, I saw a suspicious man carrying a big bag and running along the street hurriedly. But I didn't stop him. A few minutes later, a policeman stopped me and asked if I saw a man carrying a big bag.
Did you tell the police the truth?
I didn't intend to be involved in it, so I pretended not to have seen him.
I don't think it's a good idea. If I were you, I wouldn't do that. Then you didn't help the police, did you?
No, I didn't. The policeman, however, soon caught the thief with the help of other passers-by.
But you should have helped the policeman yourself.
When I got home, I was shocked.
What was wrong?
My computer and DVD set were stolen. Then I realized that it was my computer and DVD set that the thief had stolen.
I don't reckon you should turn a blind eye to public security and only care for yourself. If I were in your shoes, I'd never let the thief run away.
But it was too late.
No, it is never too late to learn a lesson.
You're absolutely right. Focus 2. Language Use. Section 1. Practical Reading.
Sea Serpents. For 3,000 years, people have told stories about sea serpents. Today, we still do not know whether there are such creatures. No one has ever produced the body of a sea serpent alive or dead. No bones have ever been found. yet many people claim to have seen sea serpents. In the past 200 years, many reports of such creatures have been set down in great detail. But not all of these reports are reliable. Sometimes people are mistaken about what they see. Sometimes they say they saw more than they actually did in the hope of having their names printed in the newspapers. All kinds of people have claimed to have seen sea serpents in all parts of the world. In June 1808, a minister saw one when out with some companions in a small boat close to the west coast of Scotland. "It stared angrily and licked its lips," said the minister later. He and his friends did not attempt to study this sea serpent. They made for the shore as fast as they could row. From 1815 to 1830, a sea serpent was often reported to be seen off the coast of New England in the United States. It was said to have a head like a horse's, but 6 feet long, and a body about 100 feet long. Some people said the body was brown. Others said it was black. The body rose above the water in a series of about 15 humps. On the 9th of July, 1848, the captain of the warship Daedalus reported seeing a sea serpent in the South Atlantic off the coast of Africa. The following day, in the same waters, a sea serpent was seen from a ship, the Daphne. One of the crew fired a gun at it. The creature came up out of the water as if it was wounded and then swam off at a speed of about 15 knots. 15 knots was faster than most ships of those days could sail. In January 1879, Major H.W. Senior saw a sea serpent in the Gulf of Aden. Major Senior was standing on the deck of the Baltimore. He called out, and members of the crew came to stare at the strange creature. Major Senior said later that the sea serpent's head and neck were about 2 feet in diameter. They rose out of the water to a height of more than 20 feet. He did not see much of the body, but when the creature dropped its head in the water and drove forward, waves 15 feet high appeared on either side of it. 9 months later, officers and men of the warship Philomel saw a sea serpent in the Gulf of Suez. Perhaps it was the same creature seen by Major Senior. On the 5th of April, 1879, Captain Davidson, at the head of the Japanese ship Kyushu Maru, reported seeing a fight to the death between a whale and a sea serpent. He and his chief officer saw the sea serpent rise above the whale. Then the violent sea serpent dragged the great sea animal down into the depths of the ocean. With a telescope, a panel of zoologists specializing in living creatures spotted a sea serpent off the coast of Brazil in December 1905. The specialists described it as being very long and with a head like a turtle's. It was dark brown in color and traveled at a speed faster than the ship, which was making more than 8 knots. The creature is illustrated with vivid description in the Zoological Society's publication. The most famous of all sea serpents is probably the Loch Ness Monster. Reports of this creature have been published regularly since 1933. Many people who live close to the loch say they have seen it, and most of them believe that a sea serpent really does live in Loch Ness. Yet after all these years, no proof of the Loch Ness Monster's presence has been obtained. For example, no one has ever taken a distinct photograph of it. It is not impossible that, in the deepest depths of the ocean, strange creatures live. Perhaps they sometimes find their way to the surface. Perhaps sea serpents are strange creatures from the ocean bed. In 1953, a diver in the South Pacific went deeper into the ocean than he had ever done before. In an attempt to break the world record, he came to a spot near which was a great hole in the seabed. The hole looked dark and scary. Close behind the diver was a shark 15 feet long which had been watching him. Now the diver saw something else moving. It was a great, flat creature, bigger than anything he had ever seen before, brown in color and with rough edges. This creature gradually rose up from the darkness of the hole towards the shark. It reached the shark, and a moment later the shark had vanished, swallowed up by this awful creature. In this emergency, the diver stood very still, careful not to attract its attention. He watched it sink slowly downwards into the depths of the hole. In the waters of the Pacific Ocean, off the coast of Australia, many divers have disappeared. Their bodies have never been found. Perhaps, like that shark, they have been swallowed up by scary creatures from the depths. The dimensions of the stories are tremendous. If such strange creatures exist, perhaps there are such things as sea serpents, too.
New words.
Serpent.
Reliable.
Print.
Coast.
Hump.
Warship.
Crew.
Wound.
Speed.
Knot.
Gulf.
Deck.
Diameter.
Appear.
Whale.
Chief.
Depth.
Telescope.
Panel.
Zoologist.
Specialize.
Specialist.
Describe.
Illustrate.
Vivid.
Zoological.
Publication.
Monster.
Presence.
Obtain.
Distinct.
Surface.
Diver.
Scare.
Shark.
Vanish.
Emergency.
Scary.
Dimension.
Tremendous.
Proper nouns.
Scotland.
New England.
The Daedalus.
The South Atlantic.
The Daphne.
H.W. Senior.
The Gulf of Aden.
The Baltimore.
The Philomel.
The Gulf of Suez.
Davidson.
The Kyushu Maru.
Loch Ness.
The South Pacific.